You're listening to Reflections, the wisdom of Edgar Cayce. I'm Art Ray. Today's guest is Dr. June Brough. June Brough found her life deeply affected by working daily with Edgar Cayce. She has set about sharing her resultant interests with others as a pastoral counselor and as a minister, as well as by using her skills in the performing arts. She has a graduate ministerial degree from Andover Newton Theological School in the Boston area and a doctorate from Chicago Theological Seminary. In addition to teaching on 6 campuses while raising 5 children, she has been a research assistant at Harvard, lectured and held workshops in many cities, led overseas tours to the Near East and China, and served as a pastor. A concert pianist, she has served on the music staff in churches of most of the major Protestant denominations, and draws on her background in the arts to illuminate myths, symbols, and dreams. She wrote the foreword to the recently re-released book, A Seer Out of Season, written by her husband, Dr. Harmon Brough. Dr. Brough, thanks for coming on the show today.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's my pleasure.
Now, what brought you to Virginia Beach?
Well, it's kind of a long story. I hope you don't mind. My mother-in-law, Marguerite Harmon Brough, had been asked to review There Is a River for the Christian Century, which is the main magazine for Protestants. And she got so interested that she decided to go and see Mr. Cayce when she got a lecture on the East Coast. And she did, and went down there. And she had just come from Battle Creek Sanitarium in Michigan and had a very thorough examination. She was at midlife, and lots of changes were happening in her body. And when she got a reading from Mr. Cayce, she said that his physical reading for her was more detailed, more on the mark than even all the tests that she had had up in Michigan. So that got her very interested. And, of course, Mr. Cayce and she had grown up in the same church, the same denomination, the Disciples of Christ, also called the Christian Church. And so they had a lot to say about that and became friends immediately. And he wanted her to go and speak to the Missionary Society. She wanted to talk to him about the readings and have readings for her children. But he said, we got to go down to the church. He had joined the Presbyterian Church because there were no Christian churches here at that time. So anyway, she went down and talked to the Missionary Society like he had hoped. You know, he had grown up in the church, loved the church, and done all the activities that someone does as they grow up. You know, he had been a janitor and helped put things away and put out the hymnals, and then he had become a teacher to the young people, and then he had teenagers and took them on trips and things like that. And then he, at the Presbyterian Church in Virginia Beach, he had an adult Bible study class. And my goodness, Harmon and I wouldn't miss a day of that. And he used to tell us all kinds of stories. He knew the Bible so well, you know, because he had met Dwight L. Moody, who was an itinerant preacher, very popular and famous at that time, who said to him, you know, I've read the Bible once for every year of my life. And Edgar said, I'm going to do that. And he did. So he knew that Bible. Believe me, he knew that Bible. So anyway, my mother-in-law got very, very excited about everything and got readings for her children. And at that time, Hugh Lynn, Edgar's son, had been drafted into the Army. And he had been sort of a manager there, took care of a lot of things. And so Mr. Cayce needed somebody to help out. And in Harmon's reading, it had said, this entity has worked with the sources of this information and should again. So it was kind of a carte blanche acceptance of Harmon. And so Mr. Casey asked him then if he would come to Virginia Beach and work there until Hugh Lynn got back. Well, so he came down here for a week and met with them and went in and listened to all the readings that week. And he got really smitten. And you know, he had come from the University of Chicago, which is a very scientific university. And he didn't really believe that God was transcendent. He thought God is just the highest human good, you know, that people can do for one another. And so he listened to readings for 1 week, and he came away a changed man. He really did. He said, well, you can't help but believe that there is more to God than just the good things that people do. There's something more and something magnificent. And anyway, so he came home just thrilled, and I was in the middle of my master's program in music. I was planning to be a concert pianist. And so in the reading, Mr. Casey said, in the reading he gave for me, he said, to some it is given to have a career and a home. He said, but you should have a home with a lot of little ones, and you'll need music in the home to keep harmony. And, you know, he was just reading me exactly, because that's exactly, I love children, and I wanted a home, and I was newly married, and it just all sounded right to me. And, you know, when my daughters grew up, they said, and read my reading, they said, oh, Mom, that's so sexist. I said, nope, it was not sexist. It was exactly what I needed to do. And it was what I came in to do, not to be a pianist in this lifetime. So anyway, that's how it all started.
Wow. What year did you get to Virginia Beach?
This was in 1943 in the late fall.
Well, what was Virginia Beach like when you first arrived here?
Art, it was so different from today.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there were one or two homes, large homes in each block. And there was, I think, one or two eating places. We used to go to one place. And in fact, I'll tell you that later. Yeah, and there were very, very few businesses in town. There was the cleaners, and there was the grocery store, and there was, let's see, where else did we go? I think they had one small store called Roses, and that where you could buy a little bit of everything. It was like a Kresge's or a Woolworth's or something like that. And of course there was a drugstore, but you know, that's about it. We had to go into Norfolk to get business supplies, things like that. So it was a lot of tobacco farming, and it was just a lot of green, you know, and now it's such a shock still to me to see that it's just buildings so much now, and not the green, green farmlands and green trees everywhere, and you know, but that's the way life goes, right? It just changes and builds, and that's,
oh yes,
got to accept it.
And the ARE itself, at that point, you had the hospital building.
No,
you didn't.
This was before the hospital building.
Oh, okay.
Well, it wasn't. I mean, before the current building, the hospital building had fallen apart before we got there.
Ah.
Remember, the Blumenthals had taken out their money, and it was, let's see, they had had a falling out, and so Mr. Casey had no hospital, no university, nothing when we were there. They had a home on 14th and Arctic Crescent, And they had built an extension onto the back of the home, and that was the office. And that had a bathroom, and it had a vault, and it had a mimeograph room, and it had a room for Gladys' office. It had Mr. Casey's room there, which faced the Lake Holly. It was on a just a small lake then, a freshwater lake, 2 blocks from the ocean. Can you believe that?
Wow.
And Mr. Casey used to go out there and fish, and he gardened. He loved gardening. He loved fishing. He could really grow things. He had a whole field of strawberries. Oh, the next spring after we were there, we had strawberry shortcake and strawberry ice and ice cream and strawberries. It was wonderful.
We'll be right back with more with Dr. June Brough on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Casey. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Casey. We're back with Dr. June Brough.
The people who really supported Mr. Casey then was a study group number one. They loved Mr. Casey. And do you know how that got started?
No. How did that get started?
Well, there was a man named, what was his name? I can think of it as soon as I don't think of it. Anyway, there was a man who was trying to teach, something Scott Pelley, that was his name. He was teaching people how to become psychic. And so some of these women from Norfolk came into Mr. Casey, and they said, "Mr. Casey, could you teach us to be psychic?" And he said, "Well, you know, we'll do what we can here." So they got started on the readings for this study group program. And, you know, I'm sure these women thought, oh, they're going to be beautiful rites, you know, where you light candles and you chant and you do all these things. But, you know what he talked about? He talked about cooperation. He talked about loving one another. He talked about knowing yourself. There was another chapter on, the oneness of God and the oneness of everything. And it was a spiritual lesson, one after the other. And they, believe me, they got psychic. But as they attended to these lessons and took them seriously and read their Bibles every day and tried to do good every day, they became very psychic. So anyway, they were a lovely group of people to be with, because they could say, oh, I used to think this, and then Mr. Casey straightened me out on that. You know, and I learned that in my study group program, that there are certain things that we're called to do and be. And so they could admit where they, you know, made mistakes, and they could laugh at themselves. I love that Norfolk study group number one. They were just wonderful people.
You mentioned that you had your own reading from Edgar Casey himself.
Yes.
Could you tell us more about that?
Well, it was very scary to go in there. I didn't know what was going to happen. I had just arrived, and Harmon had told me some things, but when he and his mother were talking earlier back in Chicago, I was at the Chicago Musical College working hard on my master's program, and so I didn't get into it a whole lot. I heard some things. And so when we got there, I thought, oh my goodness, what am I getting myself into here? You know, and because I'd gone to a regular church back in Ironwood, Michigan, and they had never mentioned reincarnation. They had never mentioned certain things that Mr. Casey was pointing out that were important. And they looked down on any kind of what should I say, channeling or anything like that. You know, if it wasn't straight from God, you couldn't trust it kind of thing. So here I walk into this room, and there is this man that's going to lie down and tell me about my life. And it was very new, very scary a little bit. And but, you know, as we sat there, Gladys was there, Gertrude was there, Edgar, of course, and my husband was there, and May St. Clair was there, May Gimbert St. Clair. And I watched Mr. Casey and Gertrude and Gladys kind of smile at things, and Gertrude told the story that she said, "Well, I made some karma for myself this morning." She said, "I chewed the grocer out, Mr. Brothers, and that wasn't really good." And, you know, and so we all laughed, you know, and they talked about other things, and I was feeling pretty much at ease, actually. But there was still this question and this kind of anxiety, what will he see in me? You know, will he see anything good? What will he see? What have I done in past lives? You know, that was all new to me too, reincarnation. And I wasn't even sure I accepted it. But anyway, everything that he said made sense. And just the way he got ready for the reading, you know, he was very simple. He just loosened his tie and his the buttons of his shirt neck, and then he loosened his belt and took off his shoes, and it was all very easy. And Gertrude put a blanket on him, and he crossed his hands over his head just for a moment, and he waited. He told us later, for a light, and that light took him where he needed to go, and so, you know, he began to talk, and it was, you know, full of anticipation on my part. You know, what is he going to say? And it was very, very humbling just to be in that kind of a presence, because it you know, even the suggestion that Mrs. Casey gave Edgar was so holy. Now you will give that which will be helpful to this soul, this entity, they called it. And, you know, so I thought, oh, if it's just going to be helpful, that shouldn't be too scary. And so he gave me the reading, and he mentioned several incarnations. One was in the old period of Egypt, that hasn't been discovered yet, but he said it will be when people are ready. Mr. Casey himself, back in that period, according to the readings, was Rata, a priest, and he got some of the same ideas moving in that culture that Jesus talked about later. And I'm in a study group right now with Ann Clapp and Elizabeth Wedekis, who've made a very huge study of this period. And more I'm putting things together. You know, reincarnation didn't make sense to me for a long time. And then, little by little, you know, it said that in the early Chicago period, when it was Fort Dearborn, that I was in that fort, and the French and Indian Wars came up, and they were routing everybody from the area. But my reading said that I was allowed to stay because I was friends with both the French and the Indians, so they let me stay. And I remember my childhood when I was at Girl Scout camp, and they had gotten a Native American to come and make bows and arrows for us. And so I would go and sit with him instead of going out to get my diving lessons and swimming lessons, and just get him to talk to me. So always I have loved the Indian culture and loved Indians. And In fact, you know, back then when I was a teenager in the 20s and early 30s, no, later 30s, sorry, later 30s.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was born in 20. Okay. Anyway, we used to go to a lot of shoot-em-ups, you know, with cowboy movies.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Indians would be mistreated, I could not stay in the movie house. I had to leave. I could not handle it. So, see, he hit on something very poignant for me there. The whole relationship that we have with the Indians. And then he talked about my having been with Rahab when the... you know, before the walls of Jericho were destroyed. And anyway, Joshua and his people, men, had come in to, he sent his spies ahead to sort of get the lay of the land so that they could come in and conquer these people and kill them all, actually. So, I was a sister of Rahab, and she hid the spies. She must have somehow felt that what they were doing was okay, and she hid them on the roof so they could get a good view of everything. And then she made them promise to take her family with her into the Jewish tradition, and they agreed to do that. So anyway, my reading said that I had learned wonders and trust in the God Yahweh in that experience with Joshua. And at the same time, my husband Harmon, and his reading said that he had been an orderly to Joshua, sort of his right-hand man. And so I'm sure we were together at that time, too. And but anyway, that didn't make a lot of sense to me. Because I just had no experience of Judaism, not much at all, and some history from the Bible, but not a lot. But then I had an experience, and it was such a wonderful experience. I was watching, this was in the early 50s when, and I had my reading in 44, so in the 50s, that wasn't much later, that television came on. And I was watching a movie about Abimelech and, anyway, the woman who went to, there was a big famine in Judah. And so they decided mm-hmm. to go to the neighboring country, Moab.
We'll be right back with more with Dr. June Brough. On Reflections. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. Let's continue our conversation with Dr. June Brough.
And so this family went, and there was the wife and the husband and two children, two boys. And so they stayed there quite a while, and the boys married Moab women. And so finally, the father died, Abimelech. And, Naomi is the woman's name. So Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, then both the sons died, I'm going back to Judah and to my people because that's where I need to be, and that's where my people and my tradition is. And they seem to be beyond the famine and everything that they were having. So the two daughters said, we want to go with you. And she said, no, you belong here. Your people are here. And one of the daughters-in-law turned back. But Ruth said, I'm going with you, and your people will be my people, and my people, they will do fine without me. And so anyway, she did. She went with Naomi, and then, to make a long story short, she marries Naomi's nephew and kinsman of some kind. And when they finally get married and they have a big celebration. Well, when they're doing the celebration part, I get so into it and so carried away, I could not drop that story from my mind for weeks. It just hung there. And then I decide to go to seminary, right, and work on a master's degree and in religion. And I'm going through the Bible, going through the begats in Matthew, and I see Rahab and Solomon give birth to Boaz, who was the kinsman of Naomi. And so I know I was there. He was my nephew, and I know I was there at that wedding. I know I knew those people, and that's why I got so, so moved by them. And I think that's why how reincarnation works. You know, I didn't really believe in it for a long time, but little by little, these things would come to me, like the Indian situation, and the way I was into that wedding, I knew I had to be there. And it all made sense, you know, finally. And I think that's the way it works. Reincarnation, let's see, what else did he say? He said I was in the early church, and I've always loved the church, always loved the church. And Mr. Casey said he had been there too. He was Lucius and was sort of a bishop of the new churches that were springing up there and after Jesus died. And so at the same time, Harmon was there, and he was Edgar Casey's son in that incarnation. So, you know, there are these links, and they begin to make sense after a while. And but I've always loved the church, and it said in my reading that I had held the church at Laodicea together by psalm singing. You know, every church has its problems and its disputes, and I tried to hold this church together by psalm singing. Now, Harmon and I shared an experience in college where we met of singing in a choral group, which was just fabulous. And I've always been in choral groups all my life, so that's another little place where I was working with them, getting them to sing, and here all this lifetime I've been in choirs and led choirs. So it's just interesting the way these things make sense to you. They made sense to me in a story-like form, but when finally they made sense to me in a realistic, that this really could have happened, this really was part of me.
Was Edgar Casey doing the reading from the couch that's now in the Gladys Davis room?
Absolutely, the same one.
Wow, that's amazing. I don't know, it's amazing that couch is right there and anyone can just go in and see it.
It is.
Oh, yes.
You know, Harmon and I had to go and pick something up that we'd left at the ARE there at their home. And when we walked in, we could hear Mr. Casey pacing up and down his room saying, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." And it's about 11 o'clock at night. And he told us later that it was someone calling to say that his reading had really helped this child. And he was always so grateful because, you know, he never was sure that his readings hit home. He couldn't be sure. He didn't hear a reading. He'd wake up from a reading being very sleepy and say, "Did you get anything?" And, you know, we would be crying or laughing or just being so grateful. And he didn't have that experience. So anybody that wrote to him and said, "Your reading really spoke to me," or "Your reading and the whatever you suggested for my child, it helped, it's worked," you know, it just thrilled him. And he wasn't accepted in church life. He wasn't accepted in the medical world. He wasn't accepted in the educational world. He was not accepted then, and except by a relatively few people. And it's so wonderful now that there are people from all over the world that come to the center here and are just enthralled by Mr. Casey's readings, that feel that they really make sense. And of course, I feel that way very strongly. They make a lot of sense. It's given me a whole larger viewpoint of the human soul. And I don't know what I'd have done with my life without my reading. I probably would have tried to be a concert pianist, but you know, I'm a people person, and I love community. I love the community of family, the community of church, community of the ARE. I love community, and I would have been a solo person traveling from city to city playing my solo concerts. That would not have been good for me. I would really not have been happy in that. So he directed me in the right path, and then he showed me how to look at things in a larger way. That's one of the beauties about Casey's readings, that they give us so much wisdom about life here on Earth and why we're here and what God is wanting of us, that kind of thing.
You mentioned the reincarnation aspect and other aspects dealing with your life. Did he do a health reading for you?
No, I didn't need one, and I didn't ask him for anything.
Oh, okay.
In that order. I just got one reading because he was so bowed down by the number of readings that he couldn't handle it anymore.
Well, do you use any of his remedies?
Oh, sure. And not just his remedies, but his just his diet. I've tried very hard to stick with the diet. You know, he says, 3 vegetables above the ground to 1 below. Well, I've tried to do that. That's not easy either. He says, no carbonated drinks. Okay, I haven't done it, and I tried to keep my kids away from it, but I think they still drink Coke and whatever. And he, you know, he talked about balance in everything. He just had so much good sense in his readings, stuff you could apply. And no cream or milk in your coffee. And, you know, I know that is a good thing, because I've had such good, what should I say? My stomach has never given me a problem, and so many people have I forget what you call it, where the food regurgitates. And
oh, yes, gastrointestinal reflux.
Yeah, exactly. My husband had that.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter has that. And my son has some of that. And I just feel that the part of it is the bad diet. And the, you know, putting milk in their coffee. My daughter still does that. And I sort of frown every time I see it, but I don't say anything. But there are lots of things like that he suggested, and I've tried to live by them. I've done the best I can anyway. 8 glasses of water a day. I never quite make that, but I try.
Oh, yes. You mentioned your husband, Dr. Harmon Breaux.
Yes.
You and your husband, Dr. Breaux, traveled with Edgar Casey.
Well, we did. I tell you what, they had a little problem one day.
We'll be right back with more with Dr. June Breaux on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Casey. You're listening to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Casey. We're back with Dr. June Breaux.
They had a little problem one day.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Casey, he started giving 6 to 8 readings in the morning, 6 to 8 readings in the afternoon. And his reading source, his information, had said 1 or 2 readings in the morning, 1 or 2 in the afternoon. And when he started giving that many readings, and you can imagine how he felt the urgency to help these people. You know, he wanted to help people so much. And that was his whole ideal and the way he lived. And, you know, like if somebody needed his Bible, a teenager was asking all kinds of questions and never had a Bible, Mr. Casey gave him his Bible. That's the way he was. You know, he would give anything to anybody if he had it to give. And it's a beautiful thing to be that generous. It's kind of like when Harmon and I went to see Matthew Fox when he was a priest, and he had sort of a conference center. And Harmon said, "Oh, Matthew, I'm seeing so many things that I like. I'm going to steal a couple of these ideas." Matthew Fox said, "Take it all, Harmon. Take it all." Now, that's Mr. Casey's idea. He would never have copyrighted the readings, not ever. Maybe it was a different time then.
And what was it like traveling with him?
Oh, so anyway, with giving all those readings, he became ill. And he lost his voice again, couldn't give readings, and he wasn't really himself, because he was usually cheery. He loved people, just loved people. He was an extrovert. And Harmon had something that he needed to have Mr. Casey check over before it got mailed out to people. And Harmon said, "After you read this, would you give it to my secretary?" And he said something like, "You take it to your secretary." And he shoved it back at Harmon. And Harmon said, "Who do you think?" Here's where the dynamics of the son and father came through. He stood up and he said, "Who do you think you're talking to?" And he pushed Mr. Casey at the shoulder. And Mr. Casey stumbled back a little bit, but he didn't fall. But after that, you know, there was a little strained silence. And one day Mr. Casey came down and he said, "Harmon, I want you and June to go with me to New York, where I need to see Dr. Riley," who had given him many patients and who used the Casey readings so helpfully in New York City. And Edgar went in, and he took us with him, a long train ride. And, oh, he told us so many wonderful stories, just one after the other. And we tried to say, "You need to rest now, Mr. Casey." But, you know, that's the way he was. He just shared what he had with whatever voice and whatever energy he had. He was just such a good, good man.
Oh, yes.
All
wow,
right.
I know that's only the tip of the iceberg when it comes to your experiences with Edgar Casey and the ARE, but sorry, we only have so much time.
Okay.
Thank you for coming on the show today.
Nice talking with you, Art.
It's time for the Thought for the Day, and today's Thought for the Day will be read by Kimberly Rose. Kimberly Rose will be speaking at the upcoming Be Your Own Psychic training course at the ARE from October 19th to the 23rd. She'll also be at the National Association of Transpersonal Hypnotherapists annual conference from October 27th to November the 1st in Virginia Beach. That will be located at the Barclay Towers Resort Hotel. Kimmy will be doing a mediumship certification class and will be doing gallery readings and private sessions during the week. To find out more, go to kimmyrose.com. That's KimmyRose.com. Well, hello.
Hi.
And what's today's thought for the day?
Today's thought for the day is reading 26287. Wherever truth is made manifest, it gives place to that which is heaven for those that seek and love truth.
What does that mean to you?
To me, it's, you know, truth is within. And when we embody that, to me, this is about heaven on earth. You know, when we make it in our life, when we live in our truth, I tell my kids this all the time. When you get up in the morning, the person that you need to feel comfortable with is the person you're looking at. And when we give it a place in our lives, that's what we create. We create heaven within. And then it really creates a space for others too, like you become a mirror. You become a mirror to others. So, you know, don't you think everyone seeks some type of truth and they love truth or they love it, but if anything blocks them from it, it's because they're not giving it a home or they don't think they deserve it within them.
Most people in their hearts need the truth, and part of them seeks that out, even if part of them might be running from it.
That is so true. And we always do. I mean, I think that even people that I was talking to a guy about that who feels like I said to him, you always feel like it's like that deal with the devil, you know, the story about the rock star. And he has these experiences that can feel very dark. And I said to him, I think that's your discernment. But you always go back to your truth. And therefore, all of that dissipates. I think sometimes we need to experience both to know what we want to house within ourselves.
Wow. Well, thanks for doing the thought for the day today.
Thank you.
That's all the time we have for the show today. Thanks to Dr. June Brough for talking to us. You can learn more about the newly re-released book, A Seer Out of Season, by going to the ARE catalog at arecatalog.com. Thanks also to Kimberly Rose for the thought for the day, and most of all to you, the listener. Thanks for listening to Reflections, the wisdom of Edgar Cayce.